Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back for the final installment of this very special conversation with one of Europe's leading journalists and observers and analysts of what is taking place on that continent, in Britain, and what most especially it might mean for the rest of Western civilization, including our own country. Dr. Giulio Meotti is our guest. He writes for Il Foglio. He is also a contributor to the Gatestone Institute and a columnist for Arutz Sheva. Dr. Foglio, you were describing the transformation of Europe in the previous segments in very dramatic terms. You've alluded several times in the course of your comments to what the Turkish ruler Atatürk tried to do to essentially de-Islamicize, eliminate Sharia supremacism in his own country after World War I, a practice that was enshrined in its constitution and largely practiced until Recep Tayyip Erdogan emerged on the scene and has now, after successive elections in Turkey, taken full control of the country and seems hell-bent to turn it into an Islamic republic, I guess you might call it, or as he would prefer, a caliphate. Talk, if you would, a little bit about what you're watching transpire in Turkey and how it bears on the challenges that you've described a moment in previous conversation about what's going on elsewhere in Europe.
Mr. Erdogan has a very clear strategy, which is the re-Islamization of his own country by declaring the war on the two pillars of the secular Turkish state, which is the army and the judicial power. The veils and the Islamic topics and Islamic symbols are proliferating in the university, at schools, in the very curricula of the Turkish students. At the same time, Erdogan has been strengthened in his strategy during the immigration crisis. That's very important because Europe thought that Turkey could have been the hope coming from the Islamic world, you know, the so-called Islamic democracy, the moderate one, the bridge from Europe to the Middle East. And there was a discussion about including Turkey inside the European Union. Now, Mr. Erdogan is blackmailing these European countries, especially Germany, with Angela Merkel, by threatening that if billions of euros and certain political concessions are not given to him, he will open again the borders to millions of migrants flooding into Europe as it happened 2 years ago. So, in the meanwhile, Erdogan has not only demanded that Europe jail writers and journalists and Europe says nothing, he has also tried to influence very clearly elections in the Netherlands and Germany by appealing to the Turkish constituency there. So we are now talking a lot about the Russian interferences in the European elections, while we are, you know, trying to suppressing the fact that Erdogan is really influencing the election in Europe, because there are millions of Muslim Turks, especially in Germany and in the Netherlands, who are, you know, listening to what he's saying.
This is chilling, as it has the capacity at any moment to unleash still more migrants, if it chooses to do so, as you know. Also, as you've indicated, Giulio Meotti, because there are large populations of Turks to exercise real influence in what seems to be quite a seditious way to Islamize Europe as well. It's chilling to the point that we're watching this play out. And you mentioned that Erdogan is reaching into Europe and demanding the prosecution of individuals for saying things against him or otherwise offending Muslims. It brings us back to sort of one of, I think, the central questions of our time. We're seeing a lot of this here now, by the way, but it's even more advanced there, where, as you say, people are being prosecuted by their governments and various human rights commissions and the like for free expression that offends Muslims. This sounds like Sharia blasphemy restrictions being imposed. Just quickly, if you would, Giulio, talk about that. You said it was actually encouraging in France where more people were being prosecuted. But work through with us where this is leading. Is it ultimately going to snuff freedom?
It's a very important question. I will answer by giving to your listeners a very chilling description of a video. It was filmed inside the Charlie Hebdo newsroom during the days of the 2006, when there was the Danish cartoons affair. There was a discussion inside the Charlie Hebdo in Paris if publishing or not these cartoons. And the editor, Philippe Ball, at that time, who was not killed in the massacre in 2015, had a discussion with the journalist. And one of them, Volinsky, who was a cartoonist at Charlie Hebdo, who was killed by the Islamists, said, listen, guys, France is different from Cuba and the Soviet Union because here people are free to draw whatever they want, to read whatever they want, and write whatever they want without fearing to being prosecuted or killed or arrested as it happened in Cuba and in Soviet Union under the communist rulers. Then they was butchered for their decision of drawing the cartoons. Now I think we are getting closer, not to the Islamist dictatorship, but to the society of fear that Europe defeated during the Cold War. Beyond the Iron Curtain, writers, journalists, and intellectuals were put in jail because of what they wrote and the books they published. So I think we are getting closer to that society, not because of a decision of the government, but because of the intimidation is circulating in these societies, I think.
It is indeed. And the question is it too late for Europe? Have we reached and passed the tipping point, either in terms of the demographics or in terms of the will to resist, or even for that matter, the capacity to resist? As you know, Giulio, there's a very active debate in our country about gun control, and gun control has been practiced in Europe. Has it left the Europeans particularly vulnerable to this kind of takeover and restricted their ability to do anything about it?
It's practiced except for the terrorists. Everybody knows that if is an Islamist cell can go to the Balkans where there was a civil war, like the Charlie Hebdo and the 13 November attackers, they can go there, buy the weapons, and get back through the Schengen agreement to the open borders agreement and striking. So gun control is practiced only for the ordinary innocent people, but not for the terrorists. Everybody knows where the guns are and the weapons can be taken.
It's an observation that is very prominent in our debates about gun control here as well. I have to leave it at that, Giulio Miotti. There is so much more to talk about. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time today, and I hope you'll allow us to impose upon you for further conversations about all of this in the future, because truly Europe is the canary in the mineshaft for America. And if we allow it to take place here as well, truly Western civilization is lost. Thank you for the great work you're doing, Giulio, at Il Foglio, and also in the important output of the Gatestone Institute. I commend to all of you the books of Giulio Miotti, including A New Shoah, and not least, The End of Europe. Giulio, thank you. Come back to us again soon. I hope the rest of you will do the same again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.